through the whole Bible from Genesis to Revelation and not make a mistake. Amen.
Everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. He will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you, from me, ye that work iniquity. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded. Everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. In the past, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes.
Amen. Thank you, brother. Let's continue standing. Father, thank you for the word of God, and thank you for the expositor this morning. We thank you, Father God, that the word is so clear, Father God. We just read it, and it ought to make us think about our salvation. Do we have it right? It's so important that we get it right, Father God. For in your kingdom, Father God, we stand before you in that day, there will be no retesting. We must get it right. And we pray, Father God, that those that are under the sound of my voice this morning, get it right. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. We're still in a series, and this I believe I have one more next week. And radical sayings of Jesus. The radical sayings of Jesus, and I believe this is number six. It's probably... you guys know I believe Jesus is radical anyway. Everything he said was radical.
Amen.
To the unsaved and to those that profess to know Jesus and really didn't know him. It's a radical book. And I gave the illustration with Brother Elmer this morning. It's a radical book.
Mm-hmm.
And the preacher's got to be radical.
Amen.
Got to be militant in a sense. And somebody said this is not for... Is it? Faint of heart, cowards, with wild men and fools, do good at this business. No retesting. Daquan called me yesterday, in between him having his whole body tattooed at the age of 18. He found time to text me. They must not have been doing that arm. Make sure he gets his CD, Ray. And he... It was out. Took him out the first time to get his driver's license, and he knocked down all the cones. He said he only knocked down one. And I said, Ray, there was some. Daquan. I said, Daquan, there was some people there, 80, 90 years old. And they got their license. So he went out yesterday, and he was able to retest, and he got his driver's license.
Amen.
Amen. More reasons that why we should wear our seatbelts. On my job, we take our training now online. It's called the Elms Network. And we have to take classes on ethics and classes on chemicals and use of forces. We take them all online. And since I've been working there about 20 plus years, usually I can just go through it. And every once in a while, you only got to get 80% to pass. Mm-hmm. So if I take a guess at all of them and but I take it without studying them. And if I get 81, I just get it passed. Mm-hmm. If I get 79, I get a retest.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah.
Jesus is saying right here today, there ain't no retests on that day.
Amen.
We got to get it right.
Amen.
I like to even say that even about marriage.
Because
See, we live in the day and age now where and we don't get it right the first time, we just divorce and get us another wife. You young ladies back there, Caitlin and all you guys, you got to get it right. He's that first husband can mess you up. You don't need to be retested. But you got to get it right.
Amen.
We got to get it right. Look at Matthew. This is a fascinating scripture. And I know I'm not going to get through much of it. But look at verse 21. And what we have here is the story, the discourse of the Sermon on the Mount. And Jesus is talking about kingdom living. Mm-hmm. Kingdom living. And how we're going to live in the kingdom.
Amen.
And he's saying here in verse number 21. He says, not everyone. Now, I don't really need to get real deep with that word everyone. I think everyone knows what that word means. Everybody. Okay? One and all. How about that one? One and all. So he's saying, not everyone. And immediately, if you're conscious, you ought to know what that means. You ought to sit here and say, could that be me? Where am I at in this specter? What side am I on? Because he's saying, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven.
Amen.
Not everyone. So he's saying that there's going to be some that confess Jesus Christ as Lord. Mm-hmm. And they're emphatic about it. Lord, Lord. That means they're serious about it. Maybe they're orthodox in their belief, as one expositor said, which means just traditional. They just believe it. God said it. That settles it. They're saying, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven. What is the kingdom of heaven? We've been talking about that word for a lot of weeks now. It's a kingdom where God's going to rule. And if God is ruling, guess what? There won't be no sin. There won't be no sorrow. There won't be no heartache and pain. Revelation, there won't be no tears. And that's where we want to go. That's the ultimate goal. That we want to go where God is ruling. No ambulance. No police cars. No wheelchairs. How about that? No hospitals. No doctors. No $3.25 a gallon gas. No house payments. No car payments. No bad kids. Heaven. Somebody say, heaven, don't you want to go? He said, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. Anybody ever heard someone quote the first part of Romans 10:9? And they quote the first part and then they stop. It says, that if thou shall confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thy heart. And usually they stop there. They say, well, if I confess Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, that's enough. And we talk about the sinner's prayer. And they pray the sinner's prayer, which is found nowhere in the Word of God. But they say the sinner's prayer. But listen. He says, this is what they have to believe. That God have raised him from the dead, and thou shalt be saved. Look at John 3. We've used this scripture many times, and it is popular for a reason, because we have Nicodemus, this great teacher, this great Jewish teacher, most likely the greatest of that time in all of Israel. And he's coming to the Lord by night. And he's asking Jesus these questions, and he's making a point in verse number 2. It says, the same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, Master, We know that thou art a teacher come from God. We're messing up already. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him.
Amen.
Jesus is not going to even answer that. Jesus' answer is 90 miles away from what Nicodemus questioned him about. Jesus answered, said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom. Can't even get a glimpse of it. So not everyone says unto me, Lord, Lord. And you go to the average church and folks will be hopping around saying, Lord, Lord. And don't have a clue who he is. Don't have a clue who he is. They profess his name, but they don't have a clue. Listen, James talks about it. James talks about it in James 2:19. We know this scripture. And it's about demon faith. So we got a lot of folks with demon faith. And they believe. The word of God said they believe. They say, thou believest that there is one God. Thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. And tremble. Why are they trembling? Because they know their faith. They know their faith. You know, you can believe and not be saved. You can believe in the Lord and not be saved. Show me that in the Bible. That's what the baby just said. Show me that in the Bible. Look at John 12. Now this is interesting. In John 12, Jesus is talking to the Pharisees and the scribes and the chief rulers. Now watch this. John 12, 42 and 43. Nevertheless, among the chief rulers, and also many believed on him. Many believed on him. And again, you can believe and not be saved. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be what? Put out of synagogue. I don't know. You ask the average person. If they die today, where would they go? And they say heaven. I said it yesterday at my father's funeral. They said they're going to heaven. Don't have a church. They may have a Bible, but they can spell Bible again on it. The amount of dust that's on it. Everybody going to heaven. Everybody going to heaven. Look at this Pharisee in Luke 18. Here's this Pharisee in Luke 18. We talk about this. We preached on this. It said two men went up to the temple to pray. One a Pharisee. And the other a publican. Now if you was on the outside, if you didn't know the word of God, if you didn't know the Lord, you would think this Pharisee was on his way to heaven. And the Pharisee stood. Now this is Jesus speaking here. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are. You talk self-righteousness there. Extortioners. He can point around this room right today. And point around this room. I was worried yesterday. I seen Vernon out there talking to the cop. Stopped. I said, Vernon, you better get him. He won't do a background check on you. I love you too, Vernon. And the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee. That sounds reverent, don't it? Don't that sound good? God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are. Extortioners, unjust, adulterers, and even as this publican. This man needs to be saved. I fast twice in a week. We only required to fast once a year. I fast twice in a week. I give tithe of all that I possess. Now, most Baptist preachers would automatically give you a heaven ticket. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God be merciful to me, a sinner. Now, stop right there. Who's going to heaven? If you didn't know any better, we know the text because you guys have been studying this stuff. But if you didn't know, you say the publican is going to heaven because he's asked for mercy.
Amen.
And the rich man, because he's done all that good stuff. Or the Pharisee, he's done all that good stuff. He's going to hell. No, no. It's not what God said. Verse 14. I tell you, Jesus, this man went down to his house justified. That word justified, just if I haven't ever sinned. Justified. Cleaned up. He went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased. And he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Interesting. Who's going to heaven? Who entered the kingdom of God? First of all, you need to be born again.
Amen.
And second of all, you need to recognize that you're a sinner. And you're lost. And without Christ, you would die and go into hell. And many don't even believe in hell anymore. I think I scared some folks yesterday. Just mentioned it in church. But hell here. Can't go here. I don't know. To this next point, when we talk about the kingdom of heaven, I'm in verse 21, and I like to squeeze as much as I can out of verse 21. Look at this next point. He's talking about going to heaven. And then he says, but he that doeth, there's a work involved. Okay, not saved by works, James, but your works are evidence that you are saved. Y'all hear me? The works let folks know that something has happened in your life that's causing you to live differently. 1 Corinthians 6:9. Some folks, you get saved and nothing happens. Nothing changes. Life just goes right on down this merry road, and they believe they have the right stuff. And again, I titled this message, there's no retesting. You have to get it right. And I have to make sure that I proclaim it properly as I can, as doctrinally sound as I can. Look at 1 Corinthians 6 and 9. It says, know ye not. Now all of us are included in this. Your sin is in here. The first one will identify all of us, because before God saved us, we were unrighteous.
Amen.
We were born in sin. David said, in my mother's womb, I was conceived in sin. Listen, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Be not tricked. Be not deceived. Be not tricked. Be not lured into thinking that you can go into the kingdom of God any other way.
Amen.
Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetousness, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God.
Amen.
You got to think about that. There ought to be a sea lie right there. Well, you just take time to think about that. Find yourself in there. Some of us in there 2-3 times. Mary, I heard that. Some of us are in there 2-3 times. And that may be life. Some of us in every one of them. Look at verse 11. Look at the third word in that sentence, because that's the key word. That's the key word, because you know, if you're still living that, then nothing happened. Because that word "were" is in the past tense. Okay? Somebody saying that song, there's been a change in me. Listen, and such word. I mean, you got to highlight it. Just hit it. If there's one word highlighted in your Bible, that might be the one to highlight. And such were some of you. But ye are washed. But ye are sanctified. But ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Now, thank you. You've been washed. Now, Cindy does the washing. But you don't take clothes that's been washed and throw them in the basket with the dirty ones. And where sanctified means, in a sense, separated. So you've been washed and you've been separated from what you used to be. You've been justified from who you once were. And you're not living the same way. You don't even want to really get near what you've been called out of. What you've been delivered from. You want to run from it. I don't know. Who's going to inherit this kingdom? Who's going to inherit this kingdom? Y'all remember the story of the rich young ruler? He had it all right. All he did is lack his one thing. Jesus told him about one thing. He said, one thing thou lackest. Go sell all that you have to give to the poor. Come follow me. That was hard. That was a hard thing. Let's go back to Matthew 7. This is radical stuff. These are radical sayings of Jesus. I know this is radical. This is radical. But it must be taught. But Jesus is radical.
Amen.
See, we don't have a radical Jesus today. We have a Jesus that, you know what? Your football team can go 0-10 and give up 60 points a game and score no points. This is the kind of world we live in. Score no points for the whole season. And then you go to the banquet. And then you have Mr. Defense. And you'll give him a trophy. They ain't stopped nobody. They didn't give up 60 points a game and they on a rolling clock from the first quarter. And here's Mr. Defense. And then you got most improved player. And then now the team has scored no points, Claire. And here's our MVP, our offensive player of the year. That's the world we live in. So we hand out the platitudes, the data boys and the pat on the backs. And everybody's gone. Listen, I've seen it. Ray's got a few medals being on the basketball team. They say, oh, you, I'm going to get you. Ray said, I'm going to eat up everything in the house tonight. Just because you roasted me. Ray, you can get an extra portion tonight just because I roasted you. Listen, folks. Verse 22. Come on, we got to get it right, people.
Amen.
Okay? We got to get it right. Okay? Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, let me just gather myself 1 second here. My notes are just all over the place. But that word many, remember he just preached on the straight and narrow gate. Preaching the Sermon on the Mount. He just said, enter ye what? Into the straight gate. Because narrow is the way. Heaven. And wide is the road unto hell, and many be on that road. There's a lot of folks on the wrong road.
Amen. True.
See, there's a lot of ways to do wrong. There's a lot of wrong ways. Mm-hmm. But there's only one right way.
Amen.
Radical saying, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes to me, comes to the Father but by me. It doesn't get any more radical than that. Because you're telling every other religion that they got it wrong.
Amen.
Someone approached me yesterday after I preached Jesus Christ, and they approached me and told me that Allah, after the service yesterday, that Allah will take care of me. And I just want you to know it's warfare.
Amen.
It was warfare here yesterday. It was warfare. You get that many folks in here, and they was upset. This is what these folks did. Many were saying to me that day, Lord, Lord, you know, you got some serious love for what they do. They love what they do. They're convinced what they're doing, if what they doing, what they have done is right. And now you're going to see the big three. Here's the big three. Big three things that we do in church, and we think we're doing it for the glory of God. Okay? Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? You know what? To my preaching. Preached in your name. I declared the word of God, just like Paul told Timothy to do. Preach the word. In season and out of season. I declared it. And I wrote commentaries. I was a professor at cemetery. And I taught. And there are going to be a whole lot of preachers in hell and that have led many to Christ. They prophesied, they taught, and they taught it in thy name. They're serious about it. You see the earnestness here. I prophesied in thy name. I did this for you. What else they did? And in thy name, look at how serious they are, how emotional they are. And in thy name, I have cast out demons or devils. Something's going on here. They may have been in a line. You ever been in a long line and then you see people being turned away? And you can't get out of the line. They were in this line. Because it's almost as they was thinking ahead. They were seeing what was happening in front of them, and when they got there, even before Jesus gave them their verdict, they was already pleading with them. Telling them what they'd done. We cast out demons or devils. How do we do this? In thy name. Cast out devils. Church up the street casting out devils. Today. Judas cast out devils. They was in the upper room and they say, one of you is a demon or a devil. And the one that was dearest to him, John said, is it I? Judas was just as holy and pure in the eyes as all of them. And he had a demon. He said, in thy name have I done many wonderful works. What's a wonderful work? You should take your pick. When Aaron built that calf in Genesis 32, many said that was a wonderful work. But when Moses and Joshua came down from the mountain, and Joshua said, "Hey, worshiping," and Moses said, "That ain't the sound of worshiping, Joshua. Sound like they have a party."
Yeah.
But that was a wonderful work when Aaron did it. They all brought their little gold and stuff, and he crafted that golden calf, and they said, "Let's worship him." Your work is wonderful. What does God give you power to do? I thought this was interesting. Because I believe what was happening here, God gives us power. But I'm just not convinced that God has given us power today to cast out devils. Okay? I believe we getting confused. God has given us power. Acts 1 and 8. Look at it. I should know it, but I'm just going to turn to it because it's what happens when I read the word. And I believe when you preach the word to someone, honestly, I believe when you preach the word to someone, I'm praying for my loved one. I believe he had a demon the demon of suicide. He's contemplating this thing. He's thinking about this thing. I believe and I speak a word to him. And I can change his mind and make him rethink that thing and use scripture. But when he's talking about just walking up to folks and just slaying them and they falling over and puking out something. Here's an illustration of what God, I believe, gives us power to do. I believe he gives us power to do this. But when you receive, but ye shall receive power. Book of Acts 1:8. And after that, the Holy Ghost is come upon you. After you receive the Holy Ghost.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And ye shall be witnesses. Wait a minute, that's in there. He's giving you power to what? To be witnesses. Unto me both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. These are three areas where Jesus was hated the most. And he was giving them power to go into these regions and preach the gospel in his name and to suffer. God gives you power to suffer. Power to continue on when you want to quit. Power to turn the other cheek. Power to press toward the mark of the high calling of God. It takes power to do ministry. It took the power of God to do what we did this week. And we're going to need that same power to do it again. And again. And again. When you don't want to do it. When you're tired. God, give me some power. Power to witness. Power to witness. Same thing in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. It's always good to have two scriptures to support a point. 1 Thessalonians. I got points in verse chapter 2 and verse 1. Let's look at verse 1 first. And again, you see the power of God. Verse number 5. Here's Paul talking to this dynamic church of Thessalonians. In Thessalonians. Or Thessalonica, how you want to say it. For our gospel. What was the gospel? Jesus died for our sins and rose from the grave. For our gospel, Paul said, came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you. How? For your sake. Here we go. And ye became, after you got this power, you became followers of us. It takes the power of God in a man or a woman's life so that they can follow. It takes power to follow. Where was Jesus going? To the cross. It takes power to stay the course. You became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost. And what did they use this power to do? Oh, I love this verse here. So that you were examples to all that believe in Macedonia and Acadia. And look at what happened. In front of you, because you had this power in you, sounded out the word of the Lord. Not only in Macedonia and Arcadia, but also in every place, your faith to God's word is spread abroad so that we need not to speak of anything. What a testimony. What a testimony. For they themselves show us what manner of entering in we had unto you. Prove it. They did. And how, look what they did with the power of God. Some of you still stuck. Some of you still stuck. Ask God, give me some power. Turn some things. To repent from some things. To change some things. Look at this. Verse number 9. For they themselves show us what manner of entering we had unto you. How, Paul? What was the proof of it? And how ye turn to God from idols to serve the living and true God. Some power. Somebody needs some power today. I need to turn from some stuff. Some stuff got me. Some stuff got me. Some stuff got me. And I need the power. Only way you're going to get loose. Some of us are not going to get delivered until we have the power of God working in us. To shake us from some things. Because some of us are stuck. Some of us is in trouble. Power. wonderful works. Power. Back to Matthew 11. This last verse. Verse 23. And they will profess unto me. Excuse me. And they will excuse me. See, Mick, when Mick comes here, I can't read no more. And then will I profess unto them. They've had their opportunity. They've pleaded their case. They've stood before the judge and they pleaded their case. All remarkable stuff. All wonderful stuff. Casting out demons, doing wonderful works, and prophesying, and writing commentaries, and you know, now we're making apps and different things. You got Bible apps, you got your website set all up. We're just doing some wonderful things. We're getting the word out. What is going on? Why would Jesus say, I never knew you? I never knew you. Never. That's a strong word.
Amen.
I never knew you. I mean, but Jesus said, I didn't give birth to you. But you're doing all these things, and I never gave birth to you. I never gave birth to you. Look at James. I know. This just jumps at me. James 1:18. Y'all remember me studying James. And this just jumped at me. It just jumped at me. Look at James 1:18. He says, of his own will. He's talking about Christ. Of his own will, he begot us with the word of truth. See, this is your second birth here. You get your birthdays wrong. We celebrate the wrong birthday. No offense, Sharon and Claire. But the second birthday is the important one. The first one you born, you're going to live, we're going to live for the flesh. But the second one, we have to be nourished by the word of God. See, this is what the word of God is saying here in verse number 18. Of his own will, he begot us, or begot he us with the word of truth. See, folks getting saved and the word's not being preached. And that's troublesome. Because Jesus will say, I never knew you because you... I didn't give birth to you because you was in a ministry where the word wasn't even being preached and you walked the aisle.
Amen.
So you came on your own terms.
Amen.
And you didn't come on mine. And when you don't come on his terms, you'll know because your desires won't be on for him. Because if you born again, if you born by the word of God, you're going to be nourished by the word of God. Because you get new parents here. You got a new source of nurture. You got a new source of nourishment coming. See, when you're born of the flesh feeds you. But when you're born of the word of truth, you got a desire for the things of God. You got a desire for prayer and Bible study. You got a desire to want to fellowship with other folks that love the Lord like you. If you don't have that, something wrong. That's a clear indication that you might not have the right stuff. Remember, there's no retesting. We must get this right. If you've been born of the Spirit, then you ought to desire the things that the Spirit desires. You ought to just run up here. Oh, I want to pray. Can I pray today, Pastor? Can I read scripture today? Can I sing a solo? Can I do the responsive reading? Can I read your scripture like you let Mick do? I just want to do something for the Lord. I just want to do something for the Lord. What can I do? That's the plea of the heart of someone who's been begotten of the word of truth. Oh, goodness. Back to Matthew. I'm sorry. I get emotional about this stuff. This serious business. But you guys ain't going to get a retest.
Yes, sir.
You can't hit these cones. You say, oh, Lord, just let me tell you something. The Bible says, if the righteous scarcely be saved. Some folks, I'm just going to run up in the presence of God. Listen. You're going to be tore up by the time you get to the presence of God. You're going to be beat up. This world is going to beat you down. It's going to wear you out. It's going to ravish you. And you're not going to be in no mood for running.
Yeah.
You're going to drag this flesh to God's presence.
Amen.
This, I never knew you. God, put that word new. Strong. Strong. It's a word that talks about intimacy. It's a word that talks about intimacy. So I never knew you. I never knew you. Bible says that Adam knew his wife. They what? They conceived a child. They conceived a child. It says that Joseph, after Jesus was born, knew Mary. Mary had some other children. And they're with me. He said, I never knew you. We never had an intimate relationship. You never called me at night. I was listening to my sister and her husband talk about their romance when they first got married. They got married when they was like 12 years old. They're like, they've been married all their lives. Ever since I knew Mike, they were married. Like, we was talking about it. I was like, when did y'all get married? They've been married like 40 years.
Amen. Amen.
And they're only like 50. I'm like, I don't know. I'm not good at math. That's not right. But, you know. But they talked. And my sister had a job at General Motors. And Mike went into the service. Guess what happened at that job at General Motors? Motors, see you later. She loved Mike. And they went and got married. Lived on a bench. Struggled for a long time. And that's what you do. When you're intimate with someone, when you love someone, you spend some time with them and talking to them. So we don't, you know, texting and all that stuff has ruined relationships. It's texting, you know. Just text me. Sorry to hear about your father in a text. Call somebody.
Amen.
Grab hold of them and give them a hug. Sorry about all these texts. You read them. Go to the gym anymore. You can't talk to them. I used to go to the gym and strike up a conversation. Now, no more. Everybody got headphones in.
Yeah.
All the kids, you can't talk to them.
Yeah.
No. There's no intimacy. Jesus, I never knew you. I never knew you. I never knew you, false professors. That's what he called them. He's calling them liars. I never knew you. Then he says, depart from me. Depart from me. Me? Depart from me? Get away from me. See, Jesus said, I can't look upon sin. And if I don't see the blood, he's saying, depart from me. For I never knew you. Depart from me. Listen, as I get ready to wrap this thing up, you can't get this wrong, people. And there's a whole lot of junk out there.
Amen.
There's a whole lot of junk out there and a whole lot of folks getting it wrong.
Right.
But we don't want to hear departure plans when we stand before the Lord. We want to say, well done, my good and faithful service. I was thinking about this as I was looking for something to close with. And I think about this song that's familiar. And if I just hummed it, you would know what it meant. And I've heard this play at funerals. And I always thought, that's kind of crazy. And so I looked at it, and then I looked at it spiritually. But there you go. See? They play that at funerals. I believe I can fly. And we know it. We hummed it. We made Jake and Jackie man dance to it. Listen at this, though. And I just wrote it out. I just want you to understand. It's the world's thinking. Okay, this is R. Kelly, who's foul and wretched. And they're playing it at a funeral. I used to think that I could not go on. And life was nothing but an awful song. But now I know the meaning of true love. 1 Corinthians 13 come to mind. I'm leaning on the everlasting arms. Whose? If I see it, then I can do it. Hebrews 11:1 come to mind. Faith is the substance of what? If I just believe it, there is nothing to it. I believe I can fly. Liar. I believe I can touch the sky. I think about it every night and day. How about Psalms 1? That come to mind? That's the man who what? Walks down the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of the sinner, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but meditates on his law day and night. I spread my wings and fly. Not angel commercials anymore. You'd be hard pressed to find an angel in the Word of God outside of Ezekiel and Isaiah, and that was symbolic language where a person had angel wings or an angel that had wings. I think it's just blasphemy. Do some research. Find where in the Bible where there was angels with wings. They had two what? The cherubims. I think about it every night and day. I spread my wings and fly away. Nowhere in the Bible. I believe I can soar. I see me running through that open door. 1 Peter 4:18 says, the righteous scarcely get in. You ain't running through no open door. I believe I can fly. I believe I can fly. I believe I can fly. See, I was on the verge of breaking down. This song ain't going to help you. Have anybody ever studied the words of some of the stuff you listen to? You see, I was on the verge of breaking down. Sometimes silence can be so loud. There are miracles in this life I must achieve. You know what, Art Kelly? There's one. You must be born again. That's the greatest miracle on this side. Because everybody that God healed, the woman with the issue of blood, guess where she at now? Dead. Blind Bartimaeus, dead. Jairus' daughter, dead. Lazarus, we can go on and on. You must be born again. There are miracles in this life I must achieve. But first I know it starts inside of me. Really? Ephesians 2:1 say we were quickened out of our deadness. We were dead in trespasses and sin. There's nothing good inside of you. There's nothing good inside of you. Amen. That you can tap into to make you better.
Yes, sir.
I don't say that all the time. But you understand what I mean. There's nothing you can tap into that you can get yourself together with. He said, hey, because I believe in me. This is in the song. I believe in me. If I can see it, then I can do it. If I just believe it, there's nothing to it. Hey, I just spread my wings. I can fly, I can fly, I can fly. Hey, if I just spread my wings, I can fly. Listen, R. Kelly got it wrong. There ain't no retesting. You got to get it right. I look around at you. Bernie, you got to get it right. Claire, you got to get it right. Roy, you got to get it right. Jackie, look at that being young. Jackie, you got to get it right. Amen. Ain't no retesting. Amen. Lord, you got to get it right. And I'm not saying any of you got it wrong. But you got to take a double check. Getting over that test, some of you were in college and you get that test. And I was always the last one to turn mine in. Because I looked over them things. I looked over them things. I looked over them answers. Mm-hmm. Some of us want to be the first one turning in.
Yeah.
You got to get it right. Father, thank you for the word of God. Thank you for the radical saving.